Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
Mark Podolsky joins me here today. You probably know him better as the Land Geek. And you can learn more about him and what he's up to by going to thelandgeek.com. But Mark is also offering you a free book, and the URL is a bit long on that, so I'm going to make sure that is a clickable link in the show notes. But really appreciate your time here again, Mark, and we're going to do a reset on this and do kind of a land investing 101 here today. Thanks for your time.
Jack, it's a pleasure to be back and seeing you again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to try to have the link of your previous episode in the show notes, and we talked a bit more around wholesaling land, but I think we need to spend a little more time regarding this land as a concept to begin with, because you have kind of a unique approach to this that I want everybody to kind of have a better understanding of.
Yeah, absolutely. If it makes sense, and I don't know if we did this the last time, I could just use you as a case study and kind of walk everyone through it step by step.
Yeah, that would be great. So, okay. Where do we begin?
So, Jack, where do you live?
I'm up near Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota. Okay, so let's assume that years and years ago, you bought 5 acres in Arizona, where I live, because you thought, oh, you know, it's going to be great. The winters here are terrible, and I'll go to Arizona now.
This is a very common situation.
Yeah. And so what's happened is life's gotten in the way, and you've been just busy with REIMastermind.net, and you've never used the property. And so that's number one. Number two, you're like, I keep getting these property tax notices. You know, this year, maybe I'll pay it, maybe I won't. See what happens. So you don't pay your taxes because you're just not interested in this property anymore. And so you're advertising two important things to me. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to the land because you're in North Dakota. The property's in Arizona. And number two, you're distressed financially in some weird way because you're not paying your property taxes. As a result, the county treasurer keeps sending you notices saying, Jack, if you don't pay your property taxes, you're going to lose this property to a tax deed or a tax lien investor. So all I'm going to do is look at the comparable sales on your 5-acre parcel for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to take the lowest comparable sale. Let's say it's $10,000. And then I'm going to divide by 4. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. So I'll send you an actual offer of $2,500 for your 5-acre parcel. Now you accept it. Why? Because for you, $2,500 is better than nothing. In reality, 3 to 5% of people are going to accept my quote unquote top dollar offer. But now that you've accepted it, I have to go through due diligence or in-depth research. So there's a few important things. Number one, I just have to make sure that you still own the property. Number two, I have to confirm that back taxes are only $200. If the back taxes are too high, I have to adjust that offer. Number three, I have to make sure there's been no breaks in the chain of title. Number four, I have to make sure there's no liens or encumbrances. And so I have a pretty substantial property checklist. And so I'll outsource this checklist to my team in Jamaica that's connected to an American title company. Now, Jack, if I was investing more than, say, $5,000, I wouldn't use my team. I would just close the traditional way through a title company. I wouldn't take any title risk. But this is only $2,500, so no problem. They go through the checklist. Everything checks out. So now I send you a check for $2,300. I send the treasurer check for $200. I own it free and clear. So now I'm going to sell it in 30 days or less. I'm going to make a cash flow like a rental home. So, Jack, I have a built-in best buyer. Do you know who it is?
I would imagine the neighbor.
The neighbors, you're right. So I'm going to send out a neighbor letter saying, hey, here's your opportunity. Protect your privacy. Protect your views. Know your neighbor. So oftentimes, the neighbors will purchase. Now, if they pass, I'll go to my buyer's list. The buyer's list passes. I'll go to a little website you may have heard of called Meta or Facebook. the buy sell groups, the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go to the lands, landandfarm.com, landsofamerica.com, landmodo.com, landflip.com, landhub.com, landcentury.com. These are platforms where people buy and sell raw land. But the secret is in the pricing. So all I'm going to ask for is for somebody to control your 5-acre parcel of land is a $2,500 down payment. And then they can use it. They can enjoy it. They can't really build on it. They can't improve it, but they can camp on it and do whatever. So $2,500 down. And then I'll make it a car payment. Let's say $197 a month and 9% interest for the next 72 months. So it's a one-time sale. I'll get my money out on the down payment. I could go 6 to 10 months out. And then I'll make it a car payment, $197 a month, 9% interest, next 72 months. So Jack, no renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents. And because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act. So it's a simple game. Can we create enough land notes where our passive income exceeds our fixed expenses? And then we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
Well, one of the things that you just pointed out there, you mentioned the type of person you're going to be working with and that there's no tenants and there's no issues with maintenance of a property. What you're also bypassing is those awkward conversations that I frequently have. You might remember, Mark, that I buy a lot of distressed houses from people. And what you're bypassing, and I will spend an hour or more on the phone talking to them. You know, you're almost a therapist at that point, because sometimes this is the first time they've ever even vocalized some of their issues. But what you're doing is bypassing a lot of that by sending out what would it be fair to call a blind offer to them?
It's actually an actual offer. So, because I want to get out of the appraisal business. Like a blind offer would be, hey, I'm interested in buying your parcel of land. And they're like, oh, I'm interested in selling my parcel of land. Now we're getting on the phone and they're saying, well, you know, I want this, or how much would you pay me? And we don't know at that point. But when we go through it and we price our list using these comparables, then we have a baseline number. So if our response rate is under 3%, we know, oh, the market really doesn't like our offer. We need to raise our price. And using software, we automate all this. We can easily do that. If we get a response rate over 5%, we realize, oh, we're coming in too high on this offer. We need to retrade on the phone and do all that. Now, when I say we need to do it, we're going to hire somebody as an intake manager to handle those negotiations and handle those calls, with the strategy being we can always make more money, we can't get more time. So we want to build this passive income machine where it's really at the point of 90% automated, with software on the front end, inexpensive virtual assistants, and software on the back end managing our note payments.
To get the level of volume you're talking about, though, you must be sending out you're blanketing an area, like a lot of offers. Can you give us idea of how many what you're sending out, the volume?
You know, I'm sending out maybe 1,000 a week, but I'd say to start, because I have my machine built and I have a big team, but if you don't have a big team, we recommend just 30 a day, 30 offers a day will move the needle.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great transition point then. Let's start with somebody who is hearing this for the first time. This is a brand new concept for them. Where should they start?
So they want to start at a website called landmodo.com for their county research. And the reason I say that is, let's say you live in Fargo, North Dakota, and you think, well, I know my local market. I'm going to buy some raw land in North Dakota. Well, no one wakes up and thinks to themselves, boy, I'd like some raw land today in North Dakota, unless you live in North Dakota. So we want to have the biggest buyer pool possible. So we want to specialize in areas like Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, California, Florida, maybe a little bit in the Northwest, Oregon, Washington, and it really specialized in those sunshine states, those fast-growing states, maybe some treated areas in the Midwest where there's just a ton of inexpensive raw land available. So that's the first place you're going to go. And so when you go to a website like landmodo.com, you can just see this is where the land investors are buying. So imagine you and I are going fishing and we see on the lake, there's 10 boats on this one area of the lake and they're all catching fish. And then there's two boats over here where there's no one there, but they're not catching any fish. Now we have a decision to make. Do we go, are we the 11th boat or are we the third boat? And so it's counterintuitive, but I want to go where I know I'm going to catch fish. So we want to go where, you know, we want to be that 11th boat and enjoying that. So that's the first place you want to start is your county research, because you could have everything else down on this process. You could have the best due diligence. You could have the best intake. You could have the best pricing. You could have the best marketing of the best sales. Doesn't matter if you're in a bad market and you're in the wrong market. So that's really where we want to start, is really nailing down our county research. Once we get our county research done, then we want to get that list. And so the easy button is just going to a website called datatree.com. And then if you want to get a discount, you can do /thelandgeek. And there you can buy a list from Datatree. They already have all that county research. If you're really on a tight budget and you've got more time than money, go directly to the county assessor and get the list and do that. So those are the two best ways to get a list. Then once you get that list, you have to really scrub that list. So for example, you're going to see by use code vacant land, right? So you take it and just get all the commercial, residential property out, industrial property. We're just left with vacant land on that list. So that's going to be your first scrub. And then your second scrub is you want to sort it by APN number or assessor's parcel number, like neighborhood. Because if I send somebody the same offer as 40 acres as 5 acres, that 40 acre person is going to send me back glitter in the mail. And that's how we're going to set our pricing. So once we have those pieces in place, then we can go ahead, upload that list to our software. And our software really helps us do all this anyways. And while you're doing it, you're going to train your inexpensive virtual assistant to do this work anyways. So you do that, the offers automatically go out, you get your response, and then this is where intake comes in, is they would, just like you and I were talking about, they will talk to the potential seller. Sometimes the sellers are confused by the offer. Sometimes they want to negotiate. Sometimes they just want to insult you because they think it's too low. So we protect our time and our sanity, and we have our intake manager handle that process. And then from there, we go all the way down the line, what we just talked about.
Well, you said insult. I've been coming to the tail end of a mailing of myself. And for some reason this last week, I got more FUs than I have in a while. So it was kind of surprising. I must have hit a spot in town that didn't appreciate things.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's like, if you're not, it's like skiing, right? If you're not falling when you're skiing, you're not skiing hard enough. You're not getting insults in real estate. You're not sending out enough offers.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've learned, though, and I don't know if you do this, Mark, but when I have time, I will actually call those people back just to verbally apologize to cause any kind of offense. And I'd say 1 out of 10 turns out to be something.
You're kidding. I've never done that. What usually, well, I shouldn't say, I don't think our intake managers do that. If they're really aggressively angry, we just ignore it.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting strategy. I bet it. Yeah. I can imagine it would work really well.
Yeah. Because every once in a while they are in some sort of other kind of turmoil, and to have such a reaction over a piece of paper in the mail, they're not calling Walmart or Target when they get a flyer. So right. To call in, there's a chance that there's something else going on that maybe you can help them with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
So just to remind everybody, it is thelandgeek.com, and take advantage of what Mark's offering there regarding the free book. I'll make sure to have that link as a clickable one in the show notes. If you like what we're talking about so far, do us a quick favor and share this with one of your investor friends. And if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a like, a thumbs up, and a subscribe. So Mark, based on what you've said so far, it sounds like if a person is starting into land investing, you probably should consider starting in your backyard to get your feet under you. Would that be fair to say?
No, you don't want to start in your backyard. You want to start where the biggest buyer market is. And actually, you want to start with your budget. So Where can I acquire 5 to 7 properties? That's really what you want to look at first. So you want to go where there, you know, definitively there's a strong market and that you can acquire 5 to 7 properties there.
And what type of, you know, we probably should clarify, what type of land are you targeting? Is it the stuff that could be in the way of progress for a city? Is it farmland? Is it recreational land? Is it all of the above?
So opportunistic, I'll acquire any parcel that I can acquire for 25, 30 cents on the dollar. That being said, the best odds and the highest probability of getting those types of lots and those types of parcels and that acreage is going to be rural land, say 2 to 3 hours from the nearest city. And that's where you're going to get it. I mean, if you're in San Francisco or New York or Chicago, you're not going to get an infill lot for 25, 30 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned using software a couple of times. If somebody approached you to get some help with this, is that software available to them, or what type of software are you using? Is it a custom built?
Yeah, we created our own software. So if they go to thelandgeek.com/resources, they can see the two softwares that we recommend that they use.
Okay, that's great to hear. So you have a lot of people that are calling in, the inbound calls and the leads, they're responding to this letter. You probably had to go through quite a bit of training with, are they virtual assistants in Jamaica, you said? What type of training did you have to provide in order to talk to these sellers?
So our virtual assistants, we actually had go through our coaching program, two guys that own a virtual assistant company, and they trained the virtual assistants in their land business. And then they got so good at it that they created a business called Land VA, and then the number 4, and then the letter U.com, landvaforyou.com. And so that's the easy button. You can go to another website called landmasters.us. These are Filipino virtual assistants. So there's already pre-trained virtual assistants that understand the land business. So you could start there. But if you are going to want to save more money, then you would just work the business yourself and you'd use the camcorder method. You'd record via video what you were doing, say using a website like loom.com. And then you could go to ChatGPT and say, create standard operating procedure for this. And then hire someone on Upwork.com or Fiverr.com. If you're looking for someone US-based, you go to hiremymom.com. And for each position in the business, you could train them. And my next book is Dirt Rich 2, and The Plot Thickens, How to Scale Your Land Business Without Missing a Beat. And I actually talk about exactly how to do all of those things and where to go and how to train and that whole process.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people who are going to start this for the first time, they always are looking for scripts and techniques. And every time I hear the word scripts, it makes me cringe, but I'm going to have to ask you for that. What type, so somebody's calling in, responding to your letter, your offer. How does one of those conversations typically go?
Well, it's usually going to be acknowledgement. Hey, you know, let's make sure we get the right person. So we're going to go into our software, make sure we're talking to the right person. And then we're really knowledgeable about that property that we're talking about. So we can match the offer letter in our software and that person. So we know we're talking to the right person. So essentially that script is going to be, you know, acknowledging them and then walking them through the process. And it's going to be a series of questions. And like you said, sometimes it's going to be a little bit of therapy for that intake manager, because people are going to want to sort of let you know why they're selling and, you know, why they bought it, why they're selling. And you want to establish that rapport with them. And then once that's done, you just walk them through the process and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to write you a check for this amount of dollars. Once you receive that check, you're also going to send us the deed. We're going to prepare that deed for you. You're just going to sign it, notarize it, send it back to us. We're going to file it via simplifile.com. And once we get notification that it's been recorded, we'll send you a check. And so, and this is $5,000 or less. Otherwise, $5,000 or more, we'll just work together through a title company and split the title fees.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting, especially the process there associated with this. The concept of not having a title company involved in under deals under $5,000, that seems, I'm sure that's foreign to a lot of people. Because we're buying and selling houses, there's never a point where we're either working through a title company and or a lawyer. So when you're doing this through land, and you're talking relatively small dollar amounts, really. So I can kind of understand that, but it's still kind of a bit of a mindset hurdle to get through.
Oh, 100%. It's definitely a different niche for sure. And if you're starting out and you'd feel more comfortable going through title, go through title. If you want to save a little bit of money, hire an abstractor. That's who the title companies hire anyways, and go through that route as well. But these are, you know, smaller transactions, and there's not a long chain of title either in these transactions. And this is what's sort of great about land and terrible about land is that it's an inefficient market. No one really knows the price of raw land, where you can easily go on, say, a Zillow.com and really get good comps.
Well, every time you've been on, Mark, it makes me question sometimes what I'm doing myself, because, you know, I say I'm around Fargo, but I'm actually on the Minnesota side of the river, and all of the lake land and everything around me keeps calling me. Like, there, I keep thinking that there has to be an opportunity there.
Oh, for sure there is. For sure.
But,
and you could test the market. You could buy up that property on an inexpensive option. And so, say for $100, hold an option for 90 days. Mm-hmm. And then see, I'm going to see if there's a market for this, and see if you can double, triple, quadruple your money.
Well, double, triple, quadruple your money. Can you give us an example of what one of the best deals you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, a typical deal that we'll do is we just bought 1,600 acres in a development. So we bought 1,600 acres, we subdivided it in Tennessee, outside of Nashville. And so we put in the roads, we put in some power. And so our costs on that were about $20,000 all in. And so we're flipping those properties for between $55,000 and $70,000. 5-acre parcels, and on terms, because of the interest and the payments, we're getting, say, 80-90,000 over time, and for cash between 55 and 70.
Those are some insane returns you're talking about there. How many properties did you have to look at and research to find that one golden property?
Well, you know, we're just in the business of doing this. So this is just one transaction that we're always looking at. You know, it's not like we kind of know our markets and we're just sending out offers and we're looking at deals and doing those things. But we know that at a minimum, we'll kind of look at yields. We want to at least double our money, a 72% yield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just was trying to make sure that more times than not, I feel like we paint real estate investing as set it and forget it, no fuss. I'd like to reiterate the amount of work that goes into finding that one place, because like you mentioned early on in this episode, that you're sending 1,000 mailings a week, 1,000 mailings a week. That's what I've been doing as well. So I'm doing 1,000 mailings a week, and you're hoping for a 1% response rate, and then you're following up with those individuals. There's a lot of effort and repetition associated with finding these opportunities, and you almost can't stop. You got to keep rolling that out and constantly mining for that gold. And it always stuns me, and I'm sure you have stories about this too, Mark. I still get phone calls today on a mailing I sent a year ago.
Yeah, people keep those offers 100%. And I think it is a really good point. I think, you know, when you've been doing as long as we have, we make it sound easy. There's nothing easy about anything worth doing. Nothing's easy worth doing, right? There's no get rich quick scheme. This is a get wealthy, very slow type of approach in real estate. And so I think the land model is simple, but it's certainly not easy.
So on the flip side, could you give me a sample of where a deal might have went bad?
Yeah. So years ago, I was looking at a subdivision called Treasure Lake outside of Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania. It was a beautiful area. There was 3 beautiful lakes, 2 PGA rated golf courses. There were $1 million homes. It was gated. They had a restaurant and a clubhouse. It was a really beautiful area, treed lots, but it was overdeveloped by about 1,000 lots. And so to maintain the subdivision, there's a property owners association attached to it. So the property owners association had 1,000 lots that no one was paying on, essentially. And so then no one was paying their taxes on them because it was just overdeveloped. No one was building out there. So I went to the county and I went to the property owners association. I said, hey, look, you have dead money. No one's paying the taxes. No one's paying the property owners association fees. And I'll resurrect it. So just deed me over all this land. While I own it, you'll give me a tax abatement and a POA abatement. I won't have to pay any of taxes. I won't pay any POA fees. And then I'll sell it and I'll get you a new owner who will come in and pay their taxes and pay their POA fees. And this was in 2005. And I had to keep flying back and forth and I'm negotiating and they were afraid, well, who's going to buy these properties? Now the lake's going to get filled up and I'm not going to get my tea time. And so I had all these factions fighting me. Finally, in 2007, I paid $50 a lot and I started selling them at $1,000 a lot. And so I took down all these lots. I made about $100,000. And then 2008 rolled around. I couldn't sell the lots. And I had, it was the first time in business. I couldn't keep my word to the POA and the county. And it was terrible. But when I factored in my time, it was the first time I really broke even on a deal. And I learned a really good lesson that just because I like the property doesn't mean it's a great market to be in. I haven't looked at those types of properties since. I've really stayed disciplined to what works in my niche.
Well, Mark, as always, this has been very insightful. A lot of great information. And if you want to learn about what Mark is up to, it is thelandgeek.com. And to get a free copy of his book, I'm going to put a clickable link in the show notes for that as well. But thelandgeek.com. Before we switch to the rapid fire questions, Mark, is there a question or concept you think we should have tried to cover here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people always want to know, like, if it's so great, why are you teaching anyone this stuff, right?
That's always a fair question.
I think it's a fair question. So I remember, I think it was 2011, and I'm on vacation. I get a call from a guy, Tori, and he's like, hey, will you teach me the land business? He was on my website. And I said, I don't teach it. And he's like, well, what if I pay you this? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe. So talking to my wife about it, and she's like, well, aren't you creating your own competition? I said, that's a good point. So prior to being a land investor, I was an investment banker, and I specialized in mergers and acquisitions. And what we always look at is, how big is the market? What's the total addressable market? It turns out in the land business, it's massive. There's billions of acres available for sale. And you couldn't think of a more boring real estate niche. It's not like you're going to go on HGTV or the DIY network and see, flip this land. The before picture is raw land. The after picture is raw land. So after doing that calculation, I started teaching it, realizing that a million people could be in this niche, and we're all going to run out of money before we run out of deal flow. And that has stayed consistent to this day, and our margins have stayed consistent to this day. And so nothing has been more gratifying for me professionally than someone saying to me, Mark, you've changed my life with this business, and I'm able to quit my job. I'm able to spend more time with my family, able to have the antidote to financial insecurity because my passive income has exceeded my fixed expenses. And it's absolutely amazing, where the land business itself was great. I mean, it is wonderful. It supports my family, but it wasn't as meaningful and gratifying professionally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, Mark. You know, it is one of those things, when I was asking about your biggest wins, it almost sounds like you saved the best answer for last there. You're getting a lot of satisfaction from helping some individuals.
100%. I can die in peace now professionally, for sure.
Well, if you're ready, Mark, we'll jump into some of these rapid fire questions.
I'm ready.
What lie do real estate investors tell themselves and sometimes others?
I think the lie that they tell themselves and sometimes others is that I'm going to accomplish this in a year. They set an arbitrary deadline, and they can't control that deadline. There's so much that's going on in the market that they can't control. And so I think that's a common one.
You know, and I'm going to build on that just a little bit. I'm going to go on the other side of things. What I've noticed too, that if somebody even plans something out and saying, I'm going to do this within a year, we as humans will just constantly procrastinate and wait till the last minute. And then that day comes and goes. It could might as well be air. It typically doesn't impact our actions.
No, 100%. And I think goals are great, but I think that you have a leading indicator and a lagging indicator, and you just have to work on your effort and let the results happen when they happen.
Besides Dirt Rich, what other book would you recommend everybody check out?
So I would say these two books in combination can be life-changing. It would be The One Thing by Gary Keller and The 12-Week Year by Brian Moran, which is also so interesting that you mentioned that, because The 12-Week Year makes that argument that we procrastinate the year and we really start to crush it come the end of the year, because we've got this annual goal, where 12-week year really starts to compress it. And every day is a week and every week is a month. And then you pivot and see, okay, how do we do in this 12-week year? And your team is more motivated and everyone's way more engaged in that 12-week year experience.
You know, I experienced that firsthand. I worked for a very large corporation, and when the fiscal year came up every year, I wouldn't be surprised if half the sales closed at that last couple months of the fiscal year. Yeah. Everybody started getting motivated to get her done.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Learn to meditate. I think that there's a lot of suffering that could have been avoided if I could have just realized that, you know, there's nothing I can do about the past. The future isn't here yet, and just really be aware and have that sort of peace of mind in every moment and kind of be like a duck, right? I can strive and paddle furiously below the water, but above the water, be completely serene and at peace.
What single strategy, process, or tool have you implemented that has had the biggest time-saving impact?
Hiring executive assistant. So I don't check email. I don't manage my calendar. I don't pay bills. Anything administrative, I don't do anymore. And it is so freeing. In fact, anything that is not a good use of my time is just one Vox away. It's this walkie-talkie app called Voxer. And I can just use Voxer and say, hey, can you do this? And I go to sleep. It gets done.
Well, Mark, again, I really appreciate your time. You always bring such great value to the show. Again, it is thelandgeek.com. Those are going to be clickable links in the show notes, but I hope you consider coming back a little sooner next time.
Jack, anytime, brother. Anytime. Thank you.
Have you learned at least one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.